BERKEY today.
Floods in Arkansas leave 19 dead and a lot of people shaking their heads. Obama down at the Gulf Coast going to address the nation in a couple of days, for what it's worth. Spirit Airlines on strike. If you're holding a ticket all the way through Tuesday, ooh, it has really wrecked a few vacations. Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all the ports in between. Welcome to America Tonight. Right at the start, though, it was just 9 years ago that Timothy McVeigh was executed for being convicted of the Oklahoma City bombing. Before 9/11, as all of you know, it was the deadliest act of terrorism, dubbed that, in the United States. What have we learned about what happened there and also homegrown terrorism since that time? Who better to join us than terrorism expert Jeff Atticott? Always a pleasure to welcome him to the show. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Kate.
You know, my question was, what have we learned since the Timothy McVeigh days and then ultimately his execution?
Well, Timothy McVeigh represented what's called a lone wolf terrorist, and the lone wolf terrorist is perhaps the hardest type of terrorist to really combat because they don't get on internet, they don't belong to a organized group like Al-Qaeda, so you really can't, you know, figure out what they're doing ahead of time. They're motivated by generally very bizarre, either religious or anti-government motives. A lot of it tends to be just personal grudges, as we saw with Ted Kaczynski, who was a far-left lone wolf terrorist. Mm-hmm. Timothy McVeigh would be categorized as far-right. And they're very hard to determine exactly, you know, how we're going to stop these guys before they attack. So they're the hardest type of terrorist to confront, as opposed to the mega Islamic radical terrorist groups that, you know, tend to get on websites, use the internet, congregate in large numbers, have cells. Those are easier to track than the lone wolf terrorists. Now, Timothy McVeigh, of course, represented that, and his atrocities occurred before 9/11. And, of course, we handled all terrorism before 9/11 with domestic criminal law processes, whether they were organized terrorist groups or lone wolf like Timothy McVeigh.
All right, so then moving forward, we have the situation with the Christmas Day bomber, Faisal Shahzad, Jihad Jane, you know, pick your poison. We also have Major Hassan, of course, and what happened at Fort Hood. And I can remember, Jeff, in the beginning of the year, reading a Time magazine article where they talked about the threat of homegrown Islamic terrorism might be exaggerated. I would argue the opposite. You're more of the expert. What do you think?
Oh, exactly. I mean, that was the narrative that the Obama administration really wanted to portray desperately when they took office, is that this war on terror is overblown. We don't need to call it a war on terror. We need to have a kinder, gentler approach, and perhaps state sponsors of terrorism like Iran will respond to that, because the bad old days where we stood up to them and called them evil, the axis of evil, you know, was counterproductive. And as you know, President Obama banned the term war on terror. Mm. Janet Napolitano, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, banned used the word even terrorist, call it homegrown disasters. But if you look at the facts, during this last year and a half, we've had more terrorist attacks by radical Islamic extremists or attempted terrorist attacks than any other single period since 9/11. So the exact opposite is occurring. The numbers of homegrown terrorists that are motivated by radical Islam is growing. We've had the first successful attack on the homeland under the watch of the Obama administration. That was, as you mentioned, Fort Hood, where 13 people were slaughtered. Mm. So it's not going away, and you can't expect it to go away with a policy that essentially is in denial. If you're going to win this war on terror, you first of all have to admit who the enemy is, and certainly we have right-wing extremists and left-wing extremists here in this country, but when you go to a hospital, you triage. That is, you take the most serious threat first, and by far the most serious threat is radical Islamic extremism, whether it's directly from Al-Qaeda Central in western Pakistan, or whether there are individuals that are inspired by the virus of jihad. And we've seen that in numerous cases. We've had over 320 prosecutions in federal court of radical Islamic extremists since 9/11, ranging from material support to terrorism to plots to engage in conspiracy. So there's been quite a number of individuals that we've already prosecuted. As we're talking right now, there are individuals plotting in this country that are motivated by radical Islam to kill people.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Well, where's the most danger line? I guess this is kind of an open-ended question, but you see that Shahzad, the guy who wanted to blow up a part of Times Square, he went to Pakistani camps, and then these two guys in New Jersey that they stopped at JFK and they were watching them, they were going to take those separate flights to Egypt and then ultimately end up in Somalia. And then you see what's going on in Yemen, too, that there's also obviously something at work there with that one radical cleric who has apparently influenced a lot of people. I guess it's probably hard to pinpoint it because the danger comes from all different parts. But where do you think is the most danger? Do you think it's Pakistan?
Yeah, I mean, Pakistan, Al-Qaeda has reconstituted in western Pakistan, no question about it. And that's where Osama bin Laden is at. That's where the top lieutenants are at. The president has attempted to disrupt them by using drone strikes because he won't send our military in there to crush them. We've killed, according to CIA figures, over 500 individuals in about the last 2 years by drone strikes, most of them under President Obama. But we've only killed about 17 top leadership or officers of Al-Qaeda. The rest of them are foot soldiers. So we're swatting bees in western Pakistan, but we're not crushing the beehive. I think we would have a significant moral and psychological victory if we could go into western Pakistan and crush these people once and for all. I see that the greatest danger is really emanating from Al-Qaeda Central. And the virus of jihad, of course, is spread over in this country. And you rattled off some of the names, Jihad Jane. Many of these people, they've never met Osama bin Laden. They've never been to the terror training camps, but they buy into this. And one of the dangers we have here is that other radical jihadists see what Hassan did down at Fort Hood, simply with a couple of firearms. And as you know, the two individuals that were just arrested that were going to go back to Somalia to fight for the jihad, one of them in this conversation said, I'm going to kill more people than Hassan did. I'm going to get some weapons and do that. So you have the copycat function here, where other jihadists might say, wow, Hassan got a lot of publicity. We don't have to get some nitrogen tanks and put them in a car and fumble that. We'll just get some guns and go out into a shopping mall and start killing people.
Yeah, no kidding. We only have a couple of minutes left, but obviously what they're saying, the Obama administration is saying, what do you want us to do? How do we fight terror at home and abroad without exacerbating the conditions that actually fuel the jihadist cause? And they're talking about Muslims in general and then igniting people and having people say that we're damaging the Muslim nation, which I think is baloney, and I think it's just spin out there, because I think there is a way to do it. I think you just wipe them out. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what totalitarian regimes and terrorists and criminals acknowledge and respect is the application of lawful violence or the threat of lawful violence. They simply ridicule you when you stick your hand out and want to shake their hand, and they'll be happy to shake your hand while they're shooting you. It's a lesson of history. You cannot appease these people, and if you're worrying about offending people, you're really putting your own nation at hazard. The application of lawful violence is the primary way to handle it in the short term. In the long term, you have to encourage moderate Muslims, true Islam, to stand up and denounce these people in larger numbers.
Oh, boy, so true. Perfect note to end on. Jeff, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again down the road. We appreciate it. Stick with us, everybody.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. UAAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. ErrantAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
The summer specials are here. Colloidal silver, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, glucosamine, chondroitin, super male plex and female plex, memory power, colon enhancer, and more, all on sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Visit herbalhealer.com now for big summer savings on longevity products like HGH, resveratrol, colloidal minerals, and hundreds of natural health products. Herbal Healer Academy has been a global leader of safe, natural medicine, providing natural supplements, correspondence courses, informative news newsletters with ongoing research information to our members since 1988. Sign up for free online newsletters and don't miss McCain's three-point plan for health at the Herbal Healer Academy website, herbalhealer.com. Find natural ways for weight loss, plus men's, women's, and children's health products, and our famous top-selling four-herb tea. The testimonials are incredible! And so are the summer specials at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
Tonight, you got to be kidding me. Did you hear this story about the discovery of a massive amount of minerals in Afghanistan? I'm talking about minerals that equal riches. The dollar tag on this is astronomical. Boy, the fates and fortunes of the people in Afghanistan could really flip in a different direction. Anyway, that's coming up at the tail end of the show. It's part of Odds and Ends. But before we get to that. You know, we live in a world of broken promises, whether it's marital promises sometimes in high-profile unions like Tiger Woods, or the promise to return a call or follow through on something. How about some broken political promises? He used to be in the political game, the guy that we're ushering in from our virtual green room. Matthew Caslato knows it was a promise he wasn't going to break this time around that he made to his mother about a book he was going to write. He followed through. He joins us now on ATN. Hey, Matthew, how are you?
Hey, Kate. I'm doing great.
You know you're my hometown. You're in Philadelphia right now.
Is that right? Your hometown. That's my mother's hometown.
Oh, how funny. Don't say anything about the Flyers and everybody will like you, okay?
Okay. Mom's the word.
Exactly. Now, explain the story, because I think it's true. A lot of people, because I think lack of follow through when you say you're going to do something is a broken promise. And we do. We live with a lot of people do follow through, but we live in a world of a lot of breakdowns when it comes to the promise game. So explain the promise, first of all, that you made to your mother that led to the book with a title of a similar name.
Right. Well, yes. The promise I made to my mother was that I would finish writing a book that she and I had been talking about for quite a while. I had some ideas about this book. In fact, you've read the book, The Real F Word.
Yeah.
That was the book that I talked to my mother about writing. It's a personal empowerment book, all kinds of good ideas for helping people, reach goals and empower themselves. And unfortunately, the tragedy is that before I finished the book, she passed away, or she was very sick. She got cancer. Before she passed away, I made a promise to her that I would finish writing the book and I would dedicate it to her memory. And, of course, it was a tough promise to make, and we both knew that when I made it, that she would not live to see the book published with the dedication. So it was a sad moment, but it was also very empowering in the sense that she loved the idea. I mean, she was all excited about it. She said, she looked up at me from her bed and said, "You do that, Matthew. You do that. You write that book and you dedicate it to me," basically. So I knew failure was not an option.
Yeah, no kidding.
I said those words, "I promise," I knew I had to do it.
Yeah. Good for you for the follow-through. Now tell us, because this might help some of the politicos out there. Like I said, you used to be in the political game, so you know how that is when you make promises on campaign trails or just from various offices. But what are some of the things, and you talk about this in your book, you offer a couple of keys to, you know, ways to make you keep your promises, keep you honest, I say. So what are those five keys?
Well, yeah, the one of the real points, and I'll get to the five, but the whole point about this, encouraging people to make promises and follow through, keep their word, is to increase the level of integrity in the world, and that starts with individuals. And, of course, political leaders and business leaders and teachers and everybody in society can help do this. So if you make a promise, you keep your word, and you can change your life, it can be very empowering for everybody, and we can actually transform the world in the process, I think, if people will just keep their word and increase the level of integrity. So I give these five very specific tips for helping people keep their promises, and we can go through them quickly. One is to be very specific. You can't make a general promise. It has to be very specific, like finish writing a book and dedicating it to your mother. That's a very specific promise. It could be something like quit smoking, you know, whatever. Any goal that you have, you can turn that into a promise and make it much more likely that you're going to follow through. So you have to be specific. You have to commit emotionally. And that's where I think a promise is so powerful, Kate, because you make a promise to someone you care about, you're much more likely to follow through. So that helps you commit emotionally, unlike a normal goal. People set goals and maybe don't follow through because they don't have any emotional commitment to it.
Sure, that's true.
Commit emotionally.
Yeah, I like that.
Emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really helps in terms of the follow-through. You have to be selective. You don't want to be, scattershot or, shotgun approach and do 30, like people do with New Year's resolutions. You have all kinds of things. Be very selective. Pick one or two important things that you're going to follow through on that you're really committed to. Because a promise is very different from just setting a goal. You really are committing yourself to it. And I think you should also start small. That's the fourth thing. Start small with some things you know you can do so you can develop. Increase what I call your achievement muscles, like doing push-ups or, running any kind of distance, anything like that. Start small. Make sure you don't drop the ball or you don't fall short of your goal. You really want to make sure you achieve it so that you can build up those muscles, the achievement muscles. And of course, we've already talked about follow through. That's the fifth one. You have to follow through. And this is where you get back to integrity. With a promise, your integrity is on the line. And that's what makes it different from a goal.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And unfortunately, a lot of people have problems with the follow-through part. They don't have the problem saying, oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, even when it comes to social activities, they're all in on everything, and then falls apart. The wheels come off, and unfortunately, that's where you still get back to the integrity thing. It's like an old buddy of mine used to tell me, hey, if you're getting invited to a lot of parties, a lot of these VIP things or not so VIP things or whatever, but if you start to not go to them, or if you are as VP to them and then you don't show up, forget about it. You're off the list. You have no follow through. And I thought that was so true. That's just social occasions. But what about in business? It's the same thing. I think right now in this country, there is a big time lack of integrity, and where people are looking for that. I mean, it's almost like We're hungry for that. We're hungry for people to, whether it is politicians or whether it is business or whatever it is, we're hungry for people to keep their promises, don't you think?
I think we are. And I think, you know, people are frustrated with what's going on in Washington. There's gridlock. There's finger-pointing. There's broken promises in the business world, Wall Street. In fact, a friend of mine, I had dinner tonight, and I was talking about a lot of this with this friend, and he said, BP, broken promises.
Yeah, that's so true.
And I thought, that's pretty good.
It's good.
Yeah, BP,
I like that.
Broken promises. Now, you know, we do get frustrated with that because, but it really starts, here's what I want to suggest is, you know, it's easy to kind of point fingers and blame others. We should start with our own lives, you know, make promises in our own lives and follow through. And, you know, let other people worry about themselves in a sense. I mean, I think it's really important that we individually, you know, increase our own integrity and not get too wrapped up into, you know, the world at large. Because I think bit by bit, promise by promise, we can improve the world. But we have to start somewhere. Gandhi was famous for saying that we should be the change we want to see in the world. And that puts the onus and responsibility on individuals. And I think that being the change that he's talking about starts with a promise. We can promise to be the change. And I think a promise really does lock you in a way that, like I said, goals, goal setting is kind of antiseptic. But a promise, your heart is in it. And that's what I found with this promise I made to my mother. You know, there were times I thought, well, gee, I don't know how this book is going to turn out and why I should finish it. And what am I going to do with this book once I'm done?
Right.
You know, there are all kinds of demons and doubts and excuses. And we're really good about making excuses. You know, people mean well. They make, you know, they set a goal. They mean well. But you have to guard against the excuses. And so I think that's where a promise gets you locked in. And you can have a written promise. If you go to my website, makeapromiseday.com, I'm going to be, it's not there yet, but we're going to be giving a PDF of a download so people can actually download a form, an I promise form, so they can fill it out and actually put it in writing.
What a great idea. Hey, everybody, pick up the book, The Power of Making a Promise. Matthew, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. We'll talk to you again. We're kicking the can down the road. Obama and the oil spill next.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Most people know that drinking pure high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Fact. 4 million people in the U.S. have hepatitis C due to liver damage. Fact. Cirrhosis of the liver is the 8th leading cause of death among Americans. Fact. Alcohol, many prescription drugs, food additives, pesticides, and environmental toxins damage the liver. Fact. 1 in 10 Americans is or has been affected by liver or gallbladder disease. Fact. Anything that keeps the liver from doing its job can put your life in danger. Protect your liver by visiting researchedherbs.com and learning more about the world's number one selling all-natural liver support formula, Live 52. It is the only herbal liver supplement that is backed by over 190 published clinical trials and endorsed by 250,000 healthcare professionals in 76 countries worldwide. Don't wait to protect your liver. Visit us at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-973-1486. That's 1-800-973-1486 or go to researchedherbs.com. All the goodness with none of the side effects.
Fly me to the moon, let me play your music. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me.
The Prez is in Louisiana, Alabama, and ultimately Florida. Then he's addressing the nation on Tuesday to talk about the oil spill crisis, because it is a crisis, my friends. Check out AmericaTonight.net, and if you follow through on my blog, Notes from a Scorecard, there are different pictures and different things and updates of what's happened with the oil spill. And now, of course, the latest thing is we still don't know how much oil is being spilled, how many barrels. I said this when this first happened. BP, initially the response was, okay, it's 5,000 barrels, which there's a big difference between 5,000 barrels a day versus 50,000 barrels of oil leaking out into the Gulf of Mexico. And the thing is, now they've got these sensors. The government, our government, has these sensors where they're trying to measure the amounts of oil. Now, what's interesting is everybody, including me, everybody is putting it on BP, because when I tried to research it, that's what I kept getting, that BP is saying it's 5,000 barrels of oil. But it really turns out maybe initially they were guesstimating that, but then weeks later, it was really the government who was trying to figure out, the Coast Guard, they were trying to figure out how much oil it was. So the figures were really our own figures, not the numbers being released from BP, because they didn't have a great measuring stick, a way to know how much it was. Now, these sensors apparently should do a much better job of telling us how awful it is. You know, who knows? It could be completely off the charts. But the big news is what I initially said, that Obama's down in the Gulf states. listening to people, finding out what's going on for the next 2 days, and then ultimately winding up addressing in prime time the nation about the spill. And I can imagine what's going to come out of that. I mean, what is going to come out of that? And also, remember last week he agreed to meet with BP. Well, also on the website we talk about, do you think BP should face criminal charges? So it's interesting. You have a couple of different takes on this. And the point of view of government, and is government complicit in not protecting the people and not jumping on the action a lot sooner? That's why you see the Prez now. Couldn't be a bigger PR campaign that he's all over this. And if this had happened in the beginning, I think it would have bode well for the nation and for him. Because if he's there, and especially if Ken Salazar and they're all there right in the beginning, it doesn't mean, of course, 54 days he can't stay down in the Gulf. But if in the beginning they were parking it down there and smothering the situation, maybe it would have made a difference. Now it's playing catch-up again. Here's the Democratic point of view, or at least one of them, from Congressman Steny Hoyer. Here's his take on the response and how good it has been, really, from the government's side of things.
Thad Allen, the admiral, immediately put in charge 17,500 National Guard troops on duty right now. Okay. So there's been a vast response here.
Congressman John Boehner, Republican, doesn't agree with that at all. He says it's the government had massive failure here.
This is a failure of government. Government is there to protect our shores, to protect our environment, and there's been a real failure here.
All right, so it's interesting. Who do you pin this on? You know where I feel. You know what I think about this. There should have been the initial response. I mean, look, the guy isn't Moses. He can't part the Gulf Coast waters and separate the oil from the water. He can't do that. But I think the presence in the beginning would have made a big difference. So now it is this sticky situation, and the storyline has gotten very messy along with the oil. So now the president is reacting in the way he said he didn't need to. Remember, in the very beginning, after weeks of insisting it wouldn't matter, that there was no use talking to BP, don't talk to the executives, it doesn't, you know, that's not going to do anything. Now suddenly it's time to kick butts. So now he's meeting with the people whose input he didn't want in the beginning. He didn't think he needed their input. Now he's doing that. And 2 months into the calamity, he's making his fourth visit to the Gulf. But this time, the big difference is staying overnight and being there pretty much for 2 days doing that. So what's been the big change in all of this? Well, it's because the White House, this is how politics play out, my friends. You don't have to hit all of us on the head with this one, but the White House is starting to realize that a lot of the problems of the oil spill, the political fallout anyway, is pretty real. It's tangible. Maybe we can't pick up the oil, but what's happened as a result of that is very serious stuff. And you can't blame it on the guys before. This is one you cannot pin on the Bush folks because it's been now over a year and a half. So you can't look at this and go back and blame them. I don't believe that, because you control the game at this point. You have the pieces in place. And I don't think this is again an error of the aides, where they don't understand how big this mistake is and how they fell into the gap on this. And it's interesting. And this is what's very odd about the Obama administration right from the start. Very thin skin for all the Joe coolness and, hey, I'm cool, I'm hip, I get it. I'm going to have conversation, we're going to negotiate, I'm going to have beer, I'm going to have a beer fest if there's a controversy. Remember the Harvard professor, Gates, and all of that. I mean, this is how we handle things. This is different. I'm going to be involved in that way. Well, now, and what the president is seeing, what he's saying, is that this is because of the media. The media is making him look bad. And this is, the narrative is not what the narrative should be. And so, hey, he picked up the ball and ran with it now. Ultimately, what's going to happen on Tuesday. I'm curious. I'm curious if there's some kind of hard deadlines or what comes out of the BP situation, because now they're talking about having a third party to set up to make sure the payments get all the way through. And, you know, the one good thing, and you heard Steinhoyer say it, and they should, I would push that, Alan, because I think as the Coast Guard leader down there, what he's done for the Gulf has been tremendous. Anybody I've talked to, they're all about him. He is, I mean, the guy has not slept in forever. He's like a walking vampire, and he's so pale. And he is making things happen, or trying to make things happen. He is the guy who's the go-between with BP, and he's been able to work that relationship as he should be able to do it. So that Allen part of things was a good stroke in the right direction. But the problem is all the other things in between. What's happened to the marshlands? What's happened with the lack of equipment in the very beginning of this thing? And let me tell you, the people are furious. I know a few people who have relatives who live in the areas that are about to be affected or have been affected, and they are inflamed. I mean, forget the healthcare situation and forget the banks are too big to fail. I think this has a bullseye on this administration's back, even bigger, honestly, even bigger than that. I don't know that I would have said that a couple of weeks ago, but now I think so, as a result of what's happening to the businesses. You know, you'll hear this later in the show if you stick around for our next hour, but all three governors in Florida and Louisiana and Alabama had different thoughts on what's happened with the oil spill. Haley Barbour is the one constant in this game from Mississippi, who keeps saying that, look, the media's blown this out of proportion. We don't have oil-soaked beaches, and it's killing our businesses. But yet then you talk to people there, and there are those problems. The oil is coming in. It does smell like petroleum. It does. He's right. It does depend on the area and the specific beach. But can you blame brides for canceling weddings where they were supposed to be married on a beach where in the background you can smell overwhelmingly petroleum? You can't blame anyone for that. And then the restaurants and the hotels, people are canceling vacations because they, even if the beach isn't soaked yet with oil, it's in the water. It's coming in that direction. This does, again, depend on what beach and what area we're talking about. That's the importance of measuring the oil and the currents and all of the possible walls in between. That's why stopping that leak was so big. One thing, if you have a leak for 1 week, 2 weeks, but now when you have it over 2 months and you're talking about ultimately still cleaning this up in the fall, it is going to affect more areas. I'm scheduled to take America Tonight on the road and to be in Tampa, Florida, and Orlando, Florida, and I bet you there, and I hope not, but there is a good chance that beautiful, clear water, Florida, and let's hope it doesn't turn into oil water, Florida, because it won't be pretty. That is a huge tourist area. There are people all up and down the Florida coastline that depend on tourism, just like some of the people in Alabama and some of the people in Mississippi and some of the people in Louisiana. Makes a very big difference. And it's not about the hype, it's about what the reality is. If you have a business that's front-loaded for 3-4 months, as many of you guys know, that goes away, what are you doing to make up for that? Because this is what you've done forever and ever and ever. All right, hang with us. If you have any thoughts, you can share them with us. 800-259-5791.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow Pillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, My Pillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. My Pillow for the rest of your life.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Alright, so we threw out a lot here on the plate for you to sample. Kate hanging with you here on ATN on a Sunday into Monday, the start of the work week. Another one, woohoo! 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. That's the number to jingle. We, heading into the weekend, I saw an interesting story that I thought young Matt could possibly throw his two cents in on, and it's the end of ladies' night in the Twin Cities. You know the old Cool in the Gang song? They even did those beer commercials, ladies' night, blah, blah, blah. And in the Twin Cities, I guess the Minnesota Department of Human Rights has filed a gender discrimination charge against five Twin City bars, saying that they violate the rights of men everywhere by holding ladies' night. Because gender-based pricing, I just thought this was so funny. I guess it's not funny to you men out there, that I put it on the website on AmericaTonight.net. I put it on the blunder of the day. So they're saying their basis for the suit is that the gender-based pricing violates the Human Rights Act. That's what they're saying in Minnesota, the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Human Rights. And some of the other bars are saying, we're going to keep doing it because it still brings in business and it's just a feature we do. Maybe they're going to have to come up with a man's night. It's man's night. I can't think of a catchy tune for that. But anyway, ladies' night.
I might surprise you a little bit here, though, because I don't think it's a horrible idea.
Oh,
See? I told you I'd surprise you here.
Is your dad the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Human Rights?
He is not, but here's the deal. One, I never go to any spots really that have the so-called ladies' night. I guess maybe back when I was younger, some of the college bars maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of the dance club-y places that have that stuff. I don't really hang out there. So I don't know. It doesn't really affect me that much. But at the same time, I don't know. There's always ways to skirt around the whole ladies' night, like ladies drink free from 9 to 11 or something like that. You just have your girlfriend or whoever go up and get all the drinks then and then bring them back to the table.
Right. Or some of the bars just completely, it used to be that some of the bars would completely not let men in. They would just have ladies. Oh, yeah. It used to be in some places they had that. And listen.
The whole point of the ladies' night is to get the guys to go because all the girls are going to be there.
Uh-huh. But here's what happens. They let them in later. And let's just say some.
Meat market.
That's right. Some men feel that they get a little bit luckier because it was ladies' night a couple of hours before that.
I don't know.
So, you know.
Just instead of having ladies' night, just make it. You know, like a late night happy hour instead of calling it ladies' night. That way you get around it and everyone can have their deals.
You got to find that Cool in the Gang song, ladies' night. Remember it was on that beer commercial?
Yeah.
That was so funny, that beer commercial.
I can find it.
But I don't know. Why can't it? You know, they have special nights for other things. Like, if you went to whatever school, they have alumni associations, or if you're a football fan, oh, this is huge, and which, of course, I'm all about this. If you're a football fan, let's say of anything, of any team, Cowboys, Eagles, Cardinals, Packers, whatever team, pick a team. In almost any big city anymore, they have showings of the team's games because they have satellites. So that's what they want. They want all the Eagles fans in Dallas to go to a certain bar. And it's, I guess other people could go, but why would they want to be there? So they are excluding other people who aren't technically Eagles fans, and it'll be like Eagles fans, a dollar off well drinks or whatever. So I think it's more a featurey gimmick thing that bars did in the first place. So I'm the opposite of Matt. I'm going to call foul on that. She might disagree, but I thought it was a good blunder. And I think that men like ladies' night, frankly, for the very reason that we talked about. Jeremy's listening to us in Alaska. Jeremy, how do you feel about ladies' night?
Well, I know before I got married, I used to... down south, when I used to live down south, of course, I live in Juneau now. We used to just hang out and sit on the back of our tailgates until all the women came out drunk. And and then we'd have our men's night.
That's right. You're proving the point that I guarantee none of the men that you were with that were hanging out on the pickup were going to complain that the women were coming out of ladies' night. You wouldn't have shut down.
No, ma'am.
I knew it.
We didn't do that.
I got it.
We didn't complain one bit. We just had a, what you call, patient and a six-pack of Budweiser or what have you.
There you go. Perfect.
But, That's not why I called. I love the, you know, the humor though. You definitely are an up and, you know, you laugh and then you get serious and I love your show, Kate. I hope if Jerry Pierce gets fired, you take his place on the, you know, the prime time there. You know what?
All right. Thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate that. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, I wanted to talk about the new executive order that just came out by Obama, the behavior modification.
Yeah.
Order. Did you hear about that yet?
Tell me about the behavior modification, your reaction to it.
Well, I got this off. Well, my reaction to it is I don't really like too much of anything he does. Pretty much all a failure, but the White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel, is fond of saying you don't ever want a crisis to go to waste. It's an opportunity to do more important things that you would otherwise avoid. Well, the Obama administration certainly has not let the British petroleum deep water horizon oil rig go to waste, using it as a smoke screen to silently assault and further diminish American citizens' personal freedoms, while the nation has its eyes and ears focused on the blame game ping pong match between President Obama and BP top brass. President Obama on Thursday, June 10th, quietly announced a new executive order establishing a national prevention, health promotion, and public health council. You will change to my liking, claiming the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America. President Obama has truly gone off the deep end this time in his most atrocious attempt to date to control every aspect of American lives. According to the executive order that details the president's national provincial health promotion strategy.
Yeah, that's let me stop you there, because you're reading off of some a website. I know what you're talking about, and what he was doing there is what you're calling the lifestyle behavior modification. It's all about it. Basically, what they did was they went in and threw out the national prevention and health promotion strategy. That's what they're calling it. So basically putting the lifestyle behavior modification spin on it, meaning telling us what we can and cannot do. And you're right, it is an executive order, which it has to do with, specifically, it has to do with the people that are going to be part of this are the Secretary of Labor, Health and Human Services, Education, all that sort of stuff. And basically what they're trying to do is they're saying they're using this as a way to improve our health status, you're right about that, and reduce preventable illness and disability in the United States and get some recommendations concerning health issues and promoting wellness and all that sort of stuff. Basically, it's also a way to suck money into these wellness programs and some of that initiative there. And it would probably be, Jeremy, thanks for bringing that up, probably be confusing to a lot of people, because it is confusing. It's basically a health initiative, but it's in order. So what does that mean? That means that they're taking big amounts of money to throw into this and saying that it's something that has to happen. So what ultimately does it mean? Is there going to be a BMI status, or are there going to be weigh-ins? Ultimately, what are they going to do with the National Prevention, Health Promotion, and Public Health Council? And I think that was more to Jeremy's point. You never know what's going to happen when you're sleeping, right? Hey, you can send me your thoughts at americatonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?